So today is really the start of a White House political countdown, the first Tuesday in November. And 1 year from now, Americans will go to the polls and elect the 44th president of the United States. And the battle over just who that president will be is starting to intensify. To get a sense of how that race is shaping up, we're joined now by two political watchers. Lisa Schifrin is a contributor to National Review, and Ruth Marcus is a columnist and editorial board member at The Washington Post. Welcome to both of you.
Hi.
Thank you.
Let's begin first with the Democrats and the stepped-up attacks against the frontrunner, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Not unusual for the candidates to pile up and pile on the candidate that's at the front of the pack, but when that candidate happens to be a woman, how does that change the equation, Ruth?
Well, we're going to find out, actually, because you did see some piling in the last debate, and you've seen it since, and you saw some pushback from the piling, and there were kind of very careful suggestions without exactly saying so that these guys were being mean to her, but she's a strong woman and came through it. And there's upsides to that and downsides to that. She doesn't want to, it's pretty dangerous if you want to be the commander in chief to sort of present yourself as the victim when somebody starts to shove you a little bit. On the other hand, it did help her in a couple ways. First of all, it deflected attention from the gaffes or stumbles, at least, that she had in the debate. And second of all, it's a little bit of a brushback pitch of saying, if you do this, you might be taking a little bit of a risk. Be careful with me.
So Ruth says it's a bit dangerous for Hillary Clinton. Lisa, do you agree a bit dangerous for her? Is it also a bit dangerous for the candidates who are throwing those punches?
You know what? I think Ruth is entirely right. I agree 100%. It's very dangerous for Hillary if there's no way a woman can be elected in this country unless she is able to convince the majority of voters that she is tough enough and competent and experienced enough. She has to show kind of the hard virtues. We presume when a woman runs that she has the softer virtues, the more nurturing and interest in social policy, and even greater honesty. The electorate perceives that in all women candidates at the start. She has to demonstrate that she's tough. And this kind of little girl whining hurt act is actually, it's her first, I think, very big stumble. Today, I was shocked to read that Bill Clinton came out and essentially accused the other Democrats of, and I quote, swift boating Hillary, a reference to what Republicans did to John Kerry 4 years ago. I think that was a false note from Bill on this.
Well, the candidates were very quick to come out and make statements on that. I think Barack Obama and Chris Dodd have already, basically said shame on you for doing that.
And I'll see your swift boating and raise you one. Eleanor Smeal, who's a feminist and Hillary Clinton supporter, compared the attacks on her to Anita Hill. And I've been really waiting to say this for a long time. I was at the Anita Hill hearings, and Hillary Clinton is no Anita Hill, and the Democratic candidates are no Senate Judiciary Committee. And we got to move on from here.
Now, I want to move on and actually look at what's going on in Iowa. Hillary Clinton is well ahead in the national polls, a very large margin, I think more than 20 points. But in Iowa, it's quite a different story. It's still very much a three-way race there. Lisa, does Hillary Clinton have to win in Iowa, not place second or third, but actually win, and win by a large margin to hold on to her front-runner status?
You know, in this round, I think in both parties, the results on the ground in Iowa and New Hampshire right this minute look very different than the national polls. I think that Hillary does not have to win by a large margin, but she really does have to win. If she doesn't win, her inevitability blows up. And that's been a very serious factor, I think, in her favor. That's why she's able now to campaign kind of down the center as if she's got the nomination and start trying to appeal to mainstream voters. So she does have to win, I think. I think if she comes in second, that for her, because her national lead is so much greater in the polls, that will look like a very big discrepancy, and it will cause people to wonder what's up.
I think she has a little bit more leeway to come in second in Iowa. And I think actually it's much more break or break for Senator Obama and Senator Edwards, in the sense that if they don't show that they can do it there, they're not going to be able. It's not clear if they win there that they'll still be able to take it all the way. But if they don't make it there, they're not going to make it anywhere.
So the tank is running pretty low if they come in.
Pretty low.
At least third. Second, they might have a shot.
A shot to keep going, but I think I take Lisa's point about the inevitability narrative, and we saw a kind of little bump in the inevitability narrative this week. But I think of all the candidates who have some leeway to not win there, Hillary Clinton has the most sort of gas in the tank.
Now, for both of you, I want to turn now to the Republican field, and where the large and the influential block of Christian conservative voters are still shopping around for a candidate that they can rally behind. This week, Paul Weyrich endorsed Mitt Romney, GOP candidate Mitt Romney. Lisa, how significant is this for a candidate whose Mormon faith makes him a bit suspicious in the eyes of some of the traditional or fundamentalist Christians?
Well, I'm going to leave the home plate here and to say that I don't think that endorsement is worth very much at all. Paul Weyrich is a well-respected conservative activist, but unlike, say, Dr. Jim Dobson, he's not a preacher. He doesn't have a following of hundreds of thousands of people who listen to him and will take their lead from him. It's a nice thing. I don't think it's worth all that much. I think most endorsements are not ultimately worth all that much.
And I think it's a notch in the belt. It's another notch in the belt. Romney has gotten some other significant endorsements recently. But I think that endorsements in general are almost a little overplayed. And particularly among the evangelicals, it's not the sort of cohesive follow one or two leaders community that it once was. It's big and it's diverse. And I'm not sure that there's anybody whose imprimatur could really absolutely both signify that Romney was good to go and dispel some of the doubts that obviously from polls people have about a Mormon candidate.
Now, some of the key conservatives are already looking beyond the pack and talking about the possibility of a third-party candidate. But I want to ask you about one candidate in particular, Mike Huckabee, because he hasn't really seemed to punch through nationally. But if you talk to people in Iowa, it appears that there he really is connecting with voters and gaining some traction.
You know, he's a master of retail politics. When you watch him in person, he was a preacher. He speaks beautifully. He's kind of energetic and compelling. He's not breaking through because he was the governor of Arkansas, because he's not a particularly serious economic conservative, and because there's, you know, not a chance that he will get the nomination.
I have to stop you there because time is short, and I'm going to give Ruth a quick chance to respond to that. Not a chance?
Not a very good chance, and I think he does have some natural ceilings, both concern among economic conservatives and, if he were to start to break through, concerns about his national security bona fides. But I do think he is the most interesting person to be watching in Iowa.
Ruth Marcus is a columnist and member of the editorial board at The Washington Post. Lisa Schifrin is a contributor to National Review. Thanks so much to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.